of Yisurim. What is Yisurim? What is the Yisod of Yisurim? We want to get to being able to mevakabel Yisurim ba'ava. And we said in order to do that, the Shoresh of the Sugya is Yitzhak Avinu. And then we said we needed to, in order to understand this, we needed to understand what happened at the Akedah. Because it's from there that we as a nation got this ability to be Meisei Nefesh. Okay. Yitzhak Avinu Mosef Nafsho Lemisa B'Meisei Akedah. That Yitzhak Avinu was ready to give up his life at the Akedah. And we got that from Yitzhak Avinu, the ability to give up our lives b'simcha for Kedushas Hashem. We've been too many examples, unfortunately, in the history of Klal Yisrael of people that were prepared to do it. Young children were prepared to do it b'simcha. Kedai l'natzliach laves advarim haitiv. Aleinu la'amik es yoneinu b'inyan ha'akeidu v'lagorat po'imke. Shall I say says Nakudas Halimut Shinitan Yel Moidoi Samba Doreinu Anu? Kashanu Moikfim the Sevil Misur. We need to understand the Akedah in depth in order to understand how that's relevant to us and how we're going to deal with the Yisurim and the Mesiras Nefesh we're being called upon to make. Tchila, Aleinu La'akdim Kama Milim. First of all, a brief introduction. Nisoina Akedah and Nisoina Acharon Shel Avraham Avinu. We all know it was the last test. It was the most difficult test, and it's quite clear, had it not been for Avraham Avinu being Matzliach in that test, all the other tests would have been bombed. It wouldn't have amounted to anything, which is very surprising. We need to understand what's going on here. Ataya Dati Kiyer Elokim Ato. Now I know that you fear Hashem. Jumping into Ul Kastim, Lech Lecho, then you're saying with Yishma, that doesn't tell me anything. Now I know. The daga zu Avraham Avinu lo agir b'yom echad. He didn't get there in one day. Kodma le daga zu masech teschay marukas shel amida b'nisoynes. He went through one after the other, an entire life of withstanding nisoynes. Kasher Avraham hikir es boire, hu hikir es ha'emes shebemetzias Hashem, ves ha'sheker shebeavodas ha'alilim. When Avraham was makir es boire, and he recognized the truth in avodas Hashem, and the sheker in serving were idols. And from then on, he was prepared to give his life for that. He knew what he was living for, he knew what he was ready to die for. And he went against his father, he went against the king, he went against everything. All the normal things where a person gets his security from and his sense of belonging from, he was prepared to turf that all out. He was prepared to give up his life into the Kivshanesh. Moshef Nashrei ubilvad shelo yichpor be'emunoso. He was prepared to give up his life. It just struck me now, why don't we get the koyach of being Moshef Nefesh from Avraham Avinu? Why do we have to get it from Yitzhak? Avraham was prepared to go into Kivshanesh.
Right.
So learn it from there. Why do we need to learn it from...
Amen.
Let's see. No, we're talking about giving up your life. The first is the nisoyin of actually giving up your life physically was like he was right. Pash even harder because he had nobody. Yitzhak had a father, he had Mesoiris, he knew about Hashem. Hashem commanded this. The nisoyin for Yitzhak at the Akedah, we don't even call it his nisoyin. The Ikka nisoyin of the Akedah wasn't his nisoyin. We call it a Kedah's Yitzchak, but the Nisoyin was Amram's Nisoyin. Although there was an element of the Nisoyin for Yitzchak. Avram heard it from Hashem, Yitzchak heard it from Avram. But Pashto says, you're right. The Nisoyin of the Kivshan Eish sounds like a harder Nisoyin than the Nisoyin of the Akedah.
Well.
First, okay, what? You mean Kivshan Eish? Yeah, but in Achinami. Yeah, but he was the first one to do it. Any? Yeah. Okay, let's see if he comes up with something else. I don't know if he says anything. You're not recording, are you? Shnei tafkidim not l'Avram Avinu al atzmoi la'achr shegil SMS. We can talk here for days and days about the Akedah. The Akedah is sugyas within sugyas within sugyas, not short. We'll go according to what he says here. If there's anything else, we'll bring it in. Shnei tafkidim not l'Avram Avinu al atzmoi la'achr shegil SMS. Avram Avinu was makabal upon himself to... And by the way, just remind me before, that story you were going to tell yesterday, I want you to tell it today. I'll explain to you why afterwards, but just remind me before we finish, I want him to tell you the story he was going to tell you yesterday. Shnei tafkidim not l'Avram Avinu al atzmoi la'achr shegil SMS. Hatafkid orishanu l'kreis bris avi mashem. First tafkid he took upon himself was entering into a covenant of love, a bris with Hashem. Hu atzmoi ki yochid yashlim v'yitaken es ashe pogam v'kilkul adam orishan b'chotu. He on his own was going to go and be mashlim and rectify whatever damage Adam HaRishon did with his sin. In other words, Adam HaRishon says, I'm going to fix up, I'm going to take over from Adam HaRishon. Hu yoshiv esa Adam shenivra yichidi lakolish baruch hu. I'm going to give back Adam back to Hashem. Adam HaRishon nivra yichidi bishvila nivra ilam. Achu osa masha osa vakolish baruch hu ibet kibiyochol oisa yochid bishvila nivra ilam. When Adam HaRishon did the chet, Hashem lost that yochid shebishvili nivra oilam. And Avraham Avinu said, I'll give you back that person that you created the world for, me. When Eba Avraham Avinu v'itnadev l'achzik kolosh bochus oisa yochid v'kachu kolos bris ava im Hashem yisparach. That's the beginning and root of Judaism. It's a covenant of love between a kolosh bochu and Avraham Avinu. So that's and that's the rectification of Adam HaRishon. Echad hu Avram. Avram Nasa kivyochol echad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same as Adam was Yechidi, Avram's called Echad. V'kach am HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sha sheyered la'atzil es Avram b'kiv shanesh. B'sha, and the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to me matzil Avram Avinu from the kiv shanesh, he said, Nayi yochid ba'olomi. V'Avram yochid ba'olomi. I'm unique. I'm alone in my world, and Avram's alone in his world. Avram stood on one side of the world, and the rest of the world stood on the other side. Rei leyochid lahatzil es hayochid. Kosh Baruch Hu kivyochol al levadoi. Hashem's levadoi. Ein ish doresh es elokim b'kol abriya. No one's interested in Hashem. No one cares about Hashem anymore. Avram is living in a world where there's no one in the world that cares if there's Hashem, not Hashem. Who cares Hashem? Avram Avinu gamu amad levado imu kol oide lili v'shoilam. And Avram Avinu stood completely alone against the entire world. Kosh levado yichidi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yored atzil him kiv shanesh v'shneim nikshu yachad b'bris ahava. Hashem took him out of the kiv shanesh and they entered into a covenant of love. Einanu soga kol shu imaya yachoto shal Adam HaRishon ad kefi shal imdoinu chazal. We don't really understand what happened with Adam HaRishon, where he went wrong. We haven't got a clue who Adam HaRishon was. We don't even, not even the beginnings of understanding who Adam HaRishon was. Aval what Chazal taught us, they taught us, Aleinu Lilmoid Mikol Inyan Gavua, Ram V'Nisoy, Samaskonas, Hanoigo, Slado. Whatever Chazal taught us, whatever we can understand that's relevant to us, we have to understand. In order to understand what Avram Avinu was doing, we need to understand what happened. Where did Adam HaRishon, where did he go wrong here? What was going on? Marechas ateva hi marechas musuderes shaboiris bach sida lakol anivroi. The system of nature, teva in the world, is a system that's well ordered. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a masada for the whole bria. Marechas zu murkes misibas umasoivivim. This natural world is made up of causes and effects. Mashmaisa dvarim hisha kol dover bebriya muchrachu b'maisa vinyonov. Everything in the world is imperative. There's nothing that Hashem creates in the world that's redundant, that's poshut. It has to be there. All its aspects and its existence is because it has to be there. Otherwise, Hashem wouldn't put it there. V'unosan b'mizgeres kavur mibli yecholes litnatek mimenu. And it's in the fixed system that Hashem created for it, and it can't go out of that system. Cows can't choose to become something else. The moon does its orbits, whatever, can't wake up one morning and say, nah, I'm going to go play in another galaxy. I'm out of here for a while. I'm going on leave. the physical ma'arech that Hashem created follows the rules completely. There's a cause which forces it to do what it does, and it can't stop doing what it does. Im nekach ledugma es balechai. Im oichlim shoyzim porim v'rob. They eat, drink, and procreate. Ulam kol apuila seilu nasis etzlo mitoy chechrach. They don't have bechira. A cow never woke up in the morning and said, that's it. You want milk, pay. What do you want? You want milk from me? Well, I have to give you milk. I'm not even going on a hunger strike. That's it. Until you give me fresh grass, I'm not eating. Never happened before. Never, ever, ever. There's nothing in the bria. There wasn't a molecule in the bria. They didn't do exactly what it was programmed to do. Hagoshes ha-ra'ev machriches balachayim le'to acha mzaynay. He has a feeling of hunger, and his instincts make him go look for food. A lion eats a buck. Yeah? Or a bear eats. What do bears eat? I don't know what bears eat.
Berries.
Fish.
Fish.
Fish. Yeah, bears eat fish. Yeah, you see them in the river grabbing the fish with their claws, whatever. Okay, yeah, I've never seen a bear, but I'm in the zoo. I've seen bears, but I've seen pictures of bears.
I think they eat bears.
They eat fish. Bears eat fish.
And they also don't eat meat, though, right?
No. They eat vegetables, whatever. Berries, whatever.
Yeah,
berries. I know lions eating buck.
Feed the pies,
lion eating buffalo. How does that sound? Okay. That's what I've seen in my time. Okay. So the thing that got eaten had to be eaten now. That's what it was tafkid in the world was, to be eaten now. And the lion that's eating the buffalo or whatever, that's what he's doing now. It's not in his koyach to not do that. Zumarecha skura, it's a closed system. Everything worked with cause and effect. The desire to eat is what drives them, but that's what he was created Mishayis Bereshis to do. It was to eat this buck now, and the buck was supposed to be eaten now. And I call everything's doing exactly what it has to do because it's forced to do what it's doing. Kachem Bnei Bria and Ma'aseh B'Kol Prat V'Prat B'Bria. From the smallest aspects of the Bria to the cosmic trillion kilometer aspects going on up there. Akol, akol, akol. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing because that's what it's supposed to be doing. There's an exception to this rule. Adam. Through Neza Abriya, the crown of creation is Adam, and he somehow has the ability to snap out of this marechet. Rak lo nitein mimemerim koyach ha-bechira libcho ben toiv l'ro. Now he doesn't have open-ended bechira either. He has a bechira to choose between good and bad. Toy v'ra, whatever that is. As kada lele avchin benukuda chashuva. Koyach ha-bechira shenitzen ladam ein kama nasei le-bechira bein oichel chomutz le-matok. Zu enu bechira. He chooses to have chocolate ice cream instead of vanilla ice cream. That's not bechira. It's the same as a cow chooses to eat this blob of grass rather than that blob of grass. That's not called bechira. Zu tzi'ida b'toich marechet ha-teva bilvad. That's just walking and moving in the natural environment. Hadocha fativi lo'ev matok meves adam libcho b'matok. He has a natural... People have different tastes. Yeah? You ask your wives, they'll tell you, every kid wants something else for lunch. This kid don't even show him sausages. This kid has to have sausages. Each kid's bought with his natural likes and dislikes, and that forces him to go after whatever he wants. Someone who doesn't like sweet and sour doesn't eat Chinese. He doesn't go to the Chinese restaurant because he just doesn't like it. Someone who likes sweet and sour, so he'll be drawn after the sweet and sour. Lion don't go looking for nice fresh grass to eat. But there's a nice beautiful fresh meadow here, why don't you eat that? Because lions eat meat. And buck don't go around and see who they can kill. Buck eat grass, and giraffes only eat the stuff at the top of the trees. Giraffes don't like eating what's low down on the grass. They only like eating the thorny stuff at the top of the trees because that's why they got long necks. And that's the way Hashem made them. The same with humans. You like matok or chamut because that's your natural tendency. It's nothing to do with bechira. He's being driven by a pre-existing cause. And he's just the effect. Bechir is completely different, and we're going to touch on it a little bit here, but as I've said a million times, Bechir is a big subject, you have to learn it. Can't start understanding who you are or what you're doing in the world without understanding Bechir, and it's not a simple subject. Massive subject. Rav Dessler has a few essays which somewhat contradict you, and you have to understand how you learn the Sugi Bechir. Rabbi Tetzer wrote a whole book on this subject.
Bechir and what you eat? That's not Bechira.
That's not Bechira. Once again, if you're choosing to be vegetarian as a moral choice between Tov v'Ra, that may be a Bechira decision. I'm not discussing whether it's correct or incorrect Bechira decision. But a person who doesn't eat meat because he's got some cuckoo philosophy or whatever, that could be a Bechira decision. Could be, yes. But it may not be. Bechira is only in the traces of what's called good and bad. If you want to put it in more our language, is am I choosing to get closer to Hashem through what I'm doing here, or to distance myself from what I'm doing here? So if the vegetarian is just because you have a taste for vegetarian, you don't like meat, whatever, you don't like meat, pasada. If it's an ideological reason why you're not eating meat, then you're into the world of Bechira, then you could be in a bit of trouble.
You're saying because that is a conception is wrong to eat.
It depends why you're not eating meat. If you don't want to eat meat because it's cruel, yeah. So then you're arguing with Hashem because Hashem told you to eat meat. So if Hashem tells you to eat meat, then eat meat. You don't like meat. You just don't like the taste or whatever. So don't eat meat. I don't like chocolate ice cream. I don't eat chocolate ice cream. Vegetarianism can be taste, like we're saying here. There's a pre-existing cause. You don't like. You know, some people, they eat eggs, they get sick. They don't like eggs. Fine, don't eat eggs. Some people don't like meat. There's no Oinek Shabbos for them in eating meat if they don't like it. But if it's ideological, so then you could be in the world of Bechir. You have to discuss whether your ideology is in line with Torah ideology or not. Rabbi Tetz tells a gorgeous story. I love the story. It was a kiruv rabbi traveling on a plane, and next to him was a chiloni, look, whatever, woman sitting there. So when the meal came round, she got a vegetarian meal. So he's a kiruv rabbi, so I thought, you know, could be she's Jewish and she doesn't want to eat the meat, so she ordered a vegetarian meal. So he said to her, excuse me, are you Jewish? She said, no, why? Is he eating vegetarian? She says, no, it's got nothing to do with being Jewish. She says, I don't eat meat. So he said, why not? She said, because I don't want to eat my cousins. My relatives. So this rabbi said whatever he said, I don't know what he said, but Rabbi Tetz said, if I was there, I would have said to her, why not? They do. And give her a big bite out of her neck. What are you talking about? You don't eat animals because you don't want to eat your cousins, but animals eat animals all the time. You know? So if that's why you're not eating animals, you're not eating meat, so then that may be Bechir, and then you could be completely missing the plot. Or it could just be Narishkat, I'm saying. But she doesn't eat meat because she doesn't want to eat her cousins. Fine. So tell the lions to stop eating the buck. They should also become vegetarians then, no? I mean, to say it's dumb. Tell the whites to stop eating plankton. Yeah, anyway, so if that's what you're talking about, Bechira, yeah, that's Bechira, could be Bechira. I'm not saying it is always, sometimes it's just brainwashing, but it could be.
I'm a meatitarian.
I remember. Rabitzak Ziskin, I don't know if you know him. He's a big one of the big Makarivas in the world. He Makariv of Tats. Big Baal Kiruv. So he used to have a big open house policy. In his house on Shabbos, there used to be everybody from anywhere. His wife once told me she never knew how many people were coming for Shabbos. Sometimes no one would come, sometimes it would be 20 people, because wherever he went, he just invited people for Shabbos. One son told me he never ever slept in his bed on Shabbos, but there were always visitors there. Like, you know, I once spent a Shabbos there. It was crazy what used to go on there. Anyway, there was a guy sitting at the table and he's not eating meat. So the rabbi says to him, why don't you eat? He's a vegetarian. So they're having a whole discussion about meat and before the flood and after the flood. He's having a whole discussion, whatever. Miller's discussion, the wife, she turns around and she says, listen, I don't know what my husband's talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I'll tell you one thing. In my house, you eat whatever I give you. Now eat. Because it was the first time he ever ate meat and he enjoyed it. That's another way to deal with people's bechiras. You eat what I put in front of you. That's fine. So you understand that there's a difference between choice and bechira. The choices we make, you know, stand up, sit down, go, walk, cold, hot. Some people like being cold, some people prefer the heat, whatever. It's a little bechira. That's got to do with just instincts that are pre-existing that were put into us by mukra. That's called, not called Bechira. So what is Bechira? Bechira amitis pirushei pi'ilois neged haregesh ativi. This is just one facet of the diamond of Bechira, which is many facets. Don't think that you're coming away from here with, you know, Bechira in your back pocket. Now you've got Bechira clear. This is I told you, but that's not a whole book on Bechira. Bechira amitis pirushei pi'ilois neged haregesh ativi. Things that you do against your natural desires. Kasher Adam reitze lochel, hadachav hativi shelo maneo ito lochel. When a person's hungry, that's a natural tendency. That natural tendency pushes him to eat. Lechei, im hu monayes atzmoy melochel, if he holds himself back from eating, not asking why he would do that. He's saying, if for whatever reason he would hold himself back from eating, uchei, he's making a decision, a bechira decision. There's a natural tendency to eat. He has a natural drive. He's part of the marechet of cause and effect. There's a cause. Hungry, I eat. If he chooses not to eat, for whatever reason, let's say even for a mitzvah reason, it's a fast. He's mamash chalashing for a hamburger. That's all he can think about. It's Yom Kippur. And the hamburger truck goes past and he holds himself back from having that hamburger. That's a bechira decision. That's not part of the natural tendency. The natural tendency now is to eat. You're hungry, eat. An animal can't do that. No lion ever turned around and said, you know what, I've been eating a bit too much lately, a bit of meat, cholesterol, not whatever. You know, maybe deer, no, you know what, no, I won't have a buffalo for breakfast this morning, you know, just maybe I'll hold back a bit. Maybe.
But they will just skip on the side if they're...
Natural instincts, yeah.
Their fill.
Yeah, the natural instincts, yeah. Each animal has his way of, yeah, but that's also natural instincts. The what do they call them? Those little furry things with the tails. That run around, that put acorns away in the wind.
Squirrels,
little rats with furry tails. They put away food for the winter. There are a lot of animals in Achinami, but that's also instinct. That's not Bechira. Ants also, when ants are doing what they're doing. They're not doing it as Bechira. They're doing it because that's what they're programmed to do. Animal can't stop eating when he's hungry. Hashem put Adam Rishon Gan Eden. He gave him one commandment. From all the trees you can eat, just don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. He didn't prevent him from eating it. He could have made it impossible for Adam Rishon to eat it. Make it revolting in his eyes. Yeah, put an electrified fence around it. He didn't stop him from eating it. He let him know that his rotzon was that I don't want you to eat it. Right? That's a tzivui. All the mitzvahs that Hashem puts on our table, he doesn't stop us from doing them. You have Bechira, you can choose to or not. Hashem Megalis to you his Ratzon, and you can choose to follow his Ratzon or not. Adam Rishon wasn't prevented from eating the Eitz Hadas. Hashem just told him, I don't want you to eat from it. What was Adam Rishon's Bechira? Listen to Hashem or not? Sounds posh. I'm a dovel, posh. Hashem comes to you, it's Magali himself to you, yeah? And he tells you, the whole world's yours, do whatever you want, just do me one favor, okay? No apples. It wasn't apples, that's why I'm choosing apples. Yeah, no shawarma. Whatever else you want, just no shawarma.
No shawarma.
No shawarma. You can have whatever else you want. Spare ribs, steak, whatever. No shawarma. It seems like a very hard to understand. We Adam Rishon Nitzel as a koyach bechira shelo v'shtamesh bo bekivna lo nachon. Adam Rishon used his bechira. How? Incorrectly. He chose to eat meitz adas. Why he chose to do that, we're not really clear. We have to understand. But what's clear is he used his bechira to not do the rotzim Hashem. He nechna mul oisam areches tivit shaleya nema ki nechma da eitz lamore ki taivehu leinayim. He got hooked up in that natural system in the world, as it says about the eitz adas, ki nechma da eitz lamore, it was very beautiful to look at. It had a draw. Your eyes lusted after it. It wasn't just some tree. It was a tree that had a pull. It had a magnet. Once again, obviously we're talking about spiritual levels as well, yeah, not just physical. Instead of transcending the natural world that was in front of him, that was providing him with this nisoy, Adam HaRishon did what? He went into the natural world. That's not what Hashem wanted. Adam HaRishon is now connected, bound to Teva. He's evicted from Gan Eden, v'ne'elatz li'sasek b'kol inyon ha'teva, and he now has to deal with the olam ha'teva. Arisha b'zriya, b'katsira b'kol yes ha'malachas. He now has to grapple with the natural world. Before the chet, he didn't have to deal with the natural world at all. The malachim took care of all of his physical needs. He didn't have to do anything. There was no ishtadlus. Now, you're going to have to... You entered into the physical world. You put yourself into that Marecha Sateva for whatever reasons. We don't know why he did it. He obviously did it for very good reason. But it was the wrong reason. That's not what Hashem wanted. And now, you're not Menutak from Teva anymore.
But Adam HaRishon was aware that will happen like this, or... Well, he has a mistake. If very,
I've heard there was a mistake. Yeah, the question is, did he realize what how big the mistake was? Yes. Pashtus not. Okay. Pashtus not. there are midrashim that say that he got a big shock when he realized what he'd done to the world. Right? He plummeted out of a world called Yudke Vavke. That's where he was living, down into this dark physical.
Real Berira in this case. That means Berira, you have to choose and to know exactly what are your choice.
Not always.
Not always.
The Bechira that Adam HaRishon was is Rotzen Hashem, not Rotzen Hashem. The consequences of that, you don't always have to know. Are we aware of the consequences of Lashon Hara? Some of them, but the cosmic consequences of what we're doing, we're not aware of. And yet you slip Bechira. The Bechira. It's an interesting discussion. Rabbi Chonin has an old essay on that. There's two aspects. There's the Aveira itself, and then there's the Rotzen Hashem. Every Aveira, besides the Aveira itself, there's another aspect of not listening to the Rotzen Hashem. Yeah. Hashem said it, don't do this. Hashem said do it. Well, whenever we don't listen to Hashem, we're doing what Hashem doesn't want. Zeh ikar bechira. Knowing the consequences will help you not do the Aveira. If you know that if you do this, you know, you're going to burn your hand, you don't do it. What gives us bechira is we don't know the consequences. If we really know the consequences, and that's Yiras Hashem. That's exactly what's called Yiras Shamayim. If a person would work on himself and build in himself and understand what Gehenna really looks like, you know, today you're not allowed to talk about Gehenna. Well, we've gone way over time, but while it's on the table, let's just deal with this. Yerbi Rucham says a very terrifying thing. Yerbi Rucham said that people had stopped talking about Gehenna. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a little piece of Gehenna from the next world and he put it into this world, called the Holocaust. So that's what happened. A person needs to talk about Gehenna. People need to think about Gehenna. There's nothing that's going to stop a person being over in a veir if he understands the consequences, real hard consequences of what he's going to do. So people stop thinking about Gehenna. Especially in this generation when the focus is on Avos Hashem. As we've mentioned many times, no one faints when the chazan says Rosh Chodesh Elul anymore. For good reason. It's not a bad thing. I don't hold with this. Your readers say, we're on such a low level, we don't faint when we are Elul. We're not supposed to. That's not our tafkid. Our tafkid is to be so sameach when we are Rosh Chodesh Elul because we have a hizdamut to get close to Hashem. But people that are already close to Hashem, their fear is maybe they're going to make a little mistake when they're with the king. They walked with Yiras Hashem. People forgot about Gehenna. So Hashem took Gehenna and he put it into this world to make us realize was Heis Gehenna. You have a little taste of Gehenna. It's much, much worse. Gehenna is much, much worse than what they did in the Holocaust. Much worse. Whatever it means in spiritual terms, we don't know. But when you think about the consequences, it's much easier not to do. You know, when a child wants to do something naughty and he knows he's going to get a good patch, so he's less likely to do it. That's why when we stopped knowing how to give a good patch, we ruined our children. Because there's nothing to stop the kids doing whatever they want. You don't see the progression in Yerida Sadoires? We lost the art of giving a patch. So now kids can do whatever they want. Because there's no way you can discipline them anymore. So you just created a churban. So for us, if we understand the consequences, we understand Schava Oynish properly, so when the Bechira, and even then it's not so posh. See a person who's addicted to cigarettes.
Yes, you know.
Da, puff of a cigarette. Da, puff of a cigarette, and the cigarette always wins. The Rotson to live is much stronger than the Da's are for a cigarette. How does the cigarette always beat the Rotson to live? I don't know if there's all they say on that. Koyach HaRotson. Nachinami, that's Bechira. That's Bechira. The art of Bechira is to become so clear about what you're talking about that you don't have Bechira anymore. Is to give up your Bechira. Is to be so clear. If you're standing next to a policeman, you don't steal. Do you have Bechira? Yeah, you have Bechira, but you would never steal because now's not the time. Correct? Yeah, but I don't know if you kill your Yetzer Hara, yeah. But you kill your Bechira. Obviously, yes, if you don't have Bechira, you don't have a Yetzer Hara, yes. That's a good. Yes. But if you would build the correct, if you would understand clearly what the consequences of our actions were, you wouldn't have Bechira anymore. There's some Rishonim that say the Malachim have Bechira. There's some that say they don't, there's some that say they do, but they can't use their Bechira because they're so close to the truth, they could never, they wouldn't steal because they're standing next to a cop. The work of Bechira is to get to the point where you are above your Nekudas HaBechira. There's no more Bechira anymore. There's certain things that a person had a Bechira in that today doesn't have Bechira anymore. He went beyond his Bechira. A person becomes a Baal Tshuva and he's got this deep desire for certain foods that are not kosher. Because then he sayons, they're not kosher. And he has a Bechira every time he walks past the non-kosher deli. He has a real nisayon. And he wins sometimes, and he loses, and he struggles, and he battles. And eventually gets to the point where you can put it in front of him, he wouldn't eat it anymore. In that area, he's killed his Bechira. He doesn't have Bechira there anymore. He's gone to the next level. The goal is to use up your Bechira. You have no more Bechira. If we would have a clear picture of Gehenna in front of us, 24-7, you could never do an Aveira. And that's not a bad thing. That'll be the Avoida I did, is to give up my Bechira. I don't have Bechira anymore. The Or Yisrael is very built on that Yisrael, on Yiras HaOynesh, and using that as a tool against the Yetzer. The biggest tool against the Yetzer is Busha, by the way. If you would be able to build in your head a picture of Hashem watching you every minute, you wouldn't do an Aveira either. Horayah, if a person would walk into the room, you wouldn't do the Aveira now. Never. I don't care how strong that Yetzer is. A person's mamash in the grips of a violent Yetzer. And he can't hold himself back anymore. And someone walked into the room, what happens in the Yetzer Hara? Gone. The puff of smoke disappears. What happened? Because Bush is another powerful tool. If a person could build a clear picture of Shivisa Hashem Negdi Tomid, he wouldn't have a Yetzer Hara anymore. So when you find out how to do that, give me a show.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to listen to the story tomorrow. I'm afraid we've gone way over time and he's sleeping. I don't want to wake him up. I don't know why you can't wake him up, but anyway. What do you think you see?